Greetings and welcome to the Rewind at Believer City Church, Menominee, Wisconsin. Each week, we gather here at this time to revisit our previous Sunday message, moving away from the simple monologue of a Sunday church service and into the dialogue of a multi-church community dynamic. Practical Christian living out in the real world. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the senior preaching pastor here at Believer City Church. And if you're local, you're likely tuned in to 101.7 FM street level radio. And if you're further away, you're no doubt with us via internet or regional TV. But however you got here, we're glad you did. Last Sunday, we began the book of 1 Peter in a message entitled Reservations. Let's jump in. 30 years of battles, 30 years of miraculous events, and certainly a lot of spiritual blood and bruises, no doubt. And yet, despite the fact it was no doubt often a uphill battle, the number of believers and the number of churches had significantly grown at this point. By those 30-odd years, there was more faith communities, there was more faithful individuals. These believers, they were now being inexplicably imprisoned, tortured, many of them put to death violently. And naturally, these followers of Christ were wondering what's happening, what's going on. The results of such trials and persecutions, they're always the same. Some would, some did, as always, attempt to run away. We've known many of them over the years, haven't we? He was writing to people just passing through, people for whom this world was not their home, but rather just their mission. Just their mission. You know, it's easy to find ourselves overwhelmed by the events around us, and if you read the news at all, it seems like that's a daily issue these days that we're passing through. Held firm by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, this was His work. This was His doing. And we as believers, even today, need to rest in that, find peace in that. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that somehow our setting apart does not involve our participation. No, that's not it at all. The devil wants you to think you broke it. Oh, look what you've done. Now you did it. That was one sin too many. You're out of the club now. That's the devil's work. And I'm here to tell you that there's no way on earth that you can out-sin the cross. That's not a long leash. That's not permission by any means. I'm just telling you, you can't undo it. And there's no doubt about that, but know this morning, our trials, and this is important because we often think otherwise, our trials are not designed for God to find out what we're made of. God's not just waiting to see if your head will explode. It's rather for us to find out what we're made of. Such joy and peace will never make sense to the unredeemed. People will think you're just mad, you're crazy, because they have no understanding of such. But if you're not a Christian today and you're here, take a good look around. Do we look miserable to you? Thus, they will come to the end of that race, never completely knowing what they were born to do. They will die, never knowing what they were called to be. They surrender. They surrender to sit on the sidelines in the bleachers. Certainly, he had to know
that these things come only from belonging to Christ. So, for these that Peter writes to this morning, the spiritual honeymoon was over. Testing had begun. The trials had commenced. As it does for all of us in the Christian journey, God was still with them. And for these folks, the fires, plural, of testing, they're dealt with in the same way as it was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter the outcome, those guys believed that God had their back.
At the opening of this letter, it has been now 30 years since Peter had walked with Jesus in earthly ministry. If he was at all like us, it probably seemed at times like it had been maybe 100 years, and then at times I would imagine it seemed like it was just yesterday. But no doubt, Peter looked back and reminisced about the best of times and the worst of times. How many years later now, Peter seems to have paused, stopped for a moment, if you will, to look around. And certainly, at this point in the age of the church, lots of churches had been started over the years. Many of them, no doubt, thriving at this point. Many people had been born again since those crazier early days of walking with Jesus. Lots of people had been baptized. There had been now an era of stability and foundation. But suddenly, it seems things were different. Suddenly, the heat was on and people were breaking down and many of them were running for the hills. It seems this Emperor Nero was on the throne now and had inexplicably decided to make Christians his personal punching bag. And at his hands, the persecution now was virulent and violent. There was imprisonment, there was torture, there was murder. Naturally, in their flesh, the believers of that day were panicked and they were confused. They, like so many today in our day, had over the years formulated and then actually embraced a rather mythological idea that because they were a Christian, and that such a standing meant, I don't know, easy street, if you will, a worldly comfort, a worldly coverage virtually on every level of their lives. So naturally then, the people at this point were like deer in the headlights. They were waving white flags. They were hiding under their beds. This hard stuff, you see, was not what they signed up for. And sadly, untold millions of believers today are literally in that same boat. Someone has fed them a line about prosperity, an easy Jesus lifestyle, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And come on, why wouldn't we? It sounds so good to our ears, right? And then when the trials and the testings came, when the trials and testings come, and they always come, gang, they too began to peel off the pack in our day and have gone into spiritual hiding. They have been fed a line, and at the end of the day, when the facts were made manifest, well, they ran for the hills. And the truth is, today, the walk of life in Christ indeed is a blessed and awesome living. But you need to know this today. That doesn't mean that you're not going to see trials or testings or persecutions. In fact, it's probably going to actually mean that it's now more likely that you're a born-again believer. And I'm sorry if someone actually misled you in this matter. There's plenty of religious charlatans out there today. I'm sorry if someone misled the first century church also, but it could very well be that both crowds, both then and now, weren't misled actually, but they actually drifted
rather towards a paradigm in which they simply desired in their flesh. Perhaps no one actually ever told them that Christianity was an easy street. Look, truth be told, we tend to inevitably drift back towards the world and towards all aspects of comfort if we're not attentive and we're not focused, if we're not on our toes. Look, it's just in our blood. Maybe I should say rather, it's just in our flesh. Now, Peter, he was a man who had come such a long way personally. Well, this was Peter who had denied Christ three times. Peter who had been personally and severely rebuked at one point by Christ himself. The Peter who sunk beneath the waves after stepping out onto the watery stage before the whole world. And, you know, I don't think that Peter had forgotten any of that, really. I think he just moved on to the grace that was provided and simply signs into this letter now as Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter wrote this letter to Christians. And as I already mentioned on Sundays, you have a need right now at the onset of this letter to evaluate yourself and decide whether this mail is even for you. Because if you're not in the family of God, you won't be able to digest what Peter is saying in this letter, and you certainly aren't going to acquiesce to what is being asked of you in this letter. Even out of the gate, it's already telling you to buck up and be strong and plant your feet. And the fact is, unless you're a spirit-filled, born-again believer, you're just not going to be able to do that. In fact, in light of the world that we live in, if you're not the genuine article, you are probably already gone, or at least effectively so, and if not, you will be soon. Peter wrote this letter to people who were simply passing through this world. Pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. And he was quick here to establish his position. He was saying, look, gang, God has not abandoned you, even if you feel alone, even if you feel afraid. And he went even further in establishing the critical doctrinal truth that not only had God not dumped them, but furthermore, that he could never dump them. You see, that issue was finished 30 years prior to this writing when Jesus uttered those famous last words, if you will. It is finished. No. God was there. God was there with them, but through the valley of the shadow of death, quote unquote, not around it, not over it, and certainly not in any way avoiding it, but actually straight right through it. However, please note it says through it, not stuck forever somewhere in the quagmire in the midst of it, meaning I will pass through this with God beside me. Now, all of this, of course, is inadvertently or perhaps even purposely leading us into a larger picture of the security of our very salvation, because our very eternal standing with God himself is presented here in this passage right as we get out of the gate. Because you see, if God does have us so firmly in his hands, then that reflects upon the greater picture of our salvation also, which he also has firmly in his hands. Look, the people, they were just focused on hanging on when they needed to realize that no matter what the world dealt out, that God had their backs and was holding their reservations in heaven himself. After all, we would never be strong enough to muscle through on our own merits or our own strength. Look, it would only be a matter of time before we collapsed. It all really comes down to this. Who's holding your salvation today? Is it you or is it him? Because if it's you, it's only a matter of time before you go down in flames. If it's him, you can take it to the bank. All of this, the leaning in upon the security of our redemption. Now, you need to also know today that that doesn't mean that we as his children don't play a part. After all, hence the word relationship. It's a relationship. It's a symbiotic connection in which we now must step up and actually let God have the keys. Because if you are in truth doing the driving in your life, then you cannot cry foul when you find yourself lost. Look, we are called, we are empowered, we are expected to step up in discipline and in commitment and in holiness. Such will not be a perfect walk. Again, Peter would be the first to attest to that. But it would be a walk that would grow and fall deeper in love with every passing day, just as Peter, at the writing of this letter, would attest to that also. Time has a way, you see, of manifesting truth. And as the years pass, you will eventually declare who and what you ultimately are. People can carry on in their own strength, you know, for a very long time, but eventually, eventually they will collapse under the weight of it all. Only Jesus could ever hope to carry the sin and the burdens that we all possess. I know some of you out there are stronger than others, but ultimately no one is strong enough, and that's why there are those who have by all outward appearances, followed him for years, or seemingly did. But eventually, they buckled under the weight of it all, and everyone was so surprised. But no one will be strong enough to do this on their own, only Christ. You see, many of us, frankly, are just fair-weather friends, and we are out the door when things get rough. We are out the door when life doesn't go according to our worldly or fleshly plans. I know one wonders what it is that motivates these folks. I wonder what motivates these folks. Often, it's simply a fear of hell, or maybe a fear of discomfort and pain in this life. Maybe it's a straight-up fear of God. Maybe it's a fear of, oh wait, seems like we have a theme here. That's right, fear. And gang, fear will never motivate anyone to any kind of consistent and faithful and successful Christianity. Only love can do that. And as we come to a greater and greater clarity of the nature and the character of God and what he wants to do in and through and for us, we fall quite naturally more and more in love. And we fall more and more in amazement. Because in the increasing clarity of the magnitude of his love and oversight, we applaud his work. We respond to his commitment with commitment of our own. In this mysterious relationship with God, we are saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. This is not merely some sort of heavenly life insurance, but in fact, it's a daily present relationship with Christ and with his blessings, with his favor, and in acknowledgement of God, as well as the ultimate eternal life. All of this does not begin at some point in the physical death of each one of us in the future, but it is something that we live in and experience now and live through here and now. All of which serves to remind us that he has indeed got us firmly in his hands.